Hello, everyone. Hello, hello. Can you guys hear me? Okay. Hi, Rita. How are you?
Hey, good. Just putting the baby to sleep. She's crying. I can't quite figure out what's going on, but she's been a bit upset lately.
Has she? You knew that when you said she was such a good baby, she would start crying.
Oh. Yeah, this is what's been going on.
I love that noise.
Poor
little thing.
We'll have to come back later.
All right. Hi, Mia. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad you came.
Yeah, I'm tired. It's 9 o'clock here because of the daylight saving stuff. I finally got our times figured out, though.
Yeah, I literally had no idea that time was changing. I feel like I live in such a little bubble because I work for myself online at home. And I wake up early all the time anyway. And my son was sick this weekend. So I woke up and I was like giving him ibuprofen and Tylenol around the clock. So I wrote my times down. And I go downstairs and I look at the stove and I was like, what is happening right now? So confused because it was, you know, like 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning, whatever it was. And then later I was like, wait, did the time change? And then it's the first time in my entire life that I had no idea that it was happening. It was very disconcerting. But so tell us, give everybody an update. What's going on with you?
Yeah. So I actually have kind of a big update. In the last 3 weeks or so, my dad's got some health things going on. And so that coupled with just not really feeling like safe or comfortable with my doctor practice here, we've decided that we are going to fly back to the States to have the baby.
Okay.
So we leave Friday.
Glad to hear that.
Yeah. I'm feeling a lot of peace about it. It was like, I guess my dad's health was kind of like the final excuse we needed to actually pull the trigger and make that happen. So we leave Friday. I'll be 35 weeks. I've got a practice lined up who they are VBAC friendly. Actually, a couple of my sister's friends just recently had VBACs successfully there. So I'm looking forward to.
And where is it? Where is it that you're going?
Columbus, Indiana.
Okay. I wonder how far that is from me. So I'm like 3 hours from Louisville, which, you know, south. Is like right on the.
3 hours south?
Yeah. I'm in Nashville.
Okay. Yeah. So it would be another hour and a half. North okay. of Louisville.
Okay, yeah, because my brother, well, he's passed away now, but my brother and my aunt and several family members live right there in that. I'm losing the name of it, right over the border there.
Like Clarksville, New Albany, Kentucky.
New Albany, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have another mama, a VBAC mama, Caitlin. She is, maybe she's in Indianapolis. I don't remember now, but I know it's Indiana. She ended up having a repeat C-section. She was going for a VBAC, joined, didn't know she was pregnant yet, then found out it was twins, and then the darn boogers wouldn't stay head down. So, yeah.
Yeah. That was another exciting thing. I had an appointment today and my final like Dominican appointment. She is now head down. So that was Woo! Very exciting to hear.
Yeah.
So well, that's all yeah. big updates. Going to another country, baby's head down.
Yeah. Well, how is your dad? Like, is is it serious or well, is it he's just
he's okay. He just was recently diagnosed with like very severe sleep apnea, and then his PSA numbers were like off the charts, but the like his exam was okay, and so the urologist didn't seem to think like that was going to be a cancer diagnosis, but just like a lot of things all at once, and he had a stroke last year. Yeah. And so I figured if we were going to be stuck in a country waiting for a passport, probably better to be there than here.
Yeah.
For the baby. So.
Well, I think that it sounds like a good plan, and it seems like you have a lot more peace about it.
Yeah. At very least, there won't be cultural and language barriers.
Yeah. It's going to be a completely different birth experience for you.
Yeah. So I have to go back and do the class things instead of like, oh, none of this applies. I have to think about like, how can I use all these resources?
Yeah. Especially in Indiana. Yeah. 'Cause it's still like, it's a lot like Tennessee, like it's still a little backwards, but that's okay. Yeah. You can handle it.
Oh yeah.
Well, thank you for the update.
Yeah.
Hey, Katie. How are you?
Better than earlier today. It's been quite a day.
we are good however you are. So
yeah. I'm getting over this virus that my son and I got last week, and it's not COVID according to the tests, but it's just really, it really hit me. I had a high fever.
I think it's everywhere right now.
Yeah.
We've got it too.
Yeah. So it's just, I think like I'm feeling extra draggy because of that, and also because of the anemia, which isn't really getting that much better. I just had this moment on the weekend of realizing that cholestasis, the itching, doesn't really necessarily only need to be on hands and feet. And so it had been keeping me up in addition to being sick. And so I was just feeling so exhausted and itching for like quite a while each night. So I got the blood test done this morning for that. And I'm actually just, I think the bile acid takes a while to come back. But I'm just looking at the rest of the results online now, which of course is impossible to comprehend, but one of them is high alkaline phosphatase.
Okay.
So that's high, but everything else is within normal range. And then the bile acid says like results pending.
Okay.
I don't really want to go down a Google rabbit hole of finding out what high alkaline phosphatase means.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. Just let it go and wait for your provider. Okay. And remember that you're coming off of having a virus.
Yeah.
So that's important to know. Like, I guess I don't know. We've been sick all weekend too. So I can't remember if you mentioned that you had a virus when we were talking about this, but there are some viruses that can cause itching.
It's just that I've had like low grade itching for like a month maybe, but it's been like all over my body. So I was kind of like not. Yeah. Yeah. So, but I have heard that today actually through.
Yeah. And,
yeah.
Well, and the other thing too, is that, and this is like for in the last 2 years, I have started having like sensitive skin to things. I've never had to deal with this. So like, especially on my trunk, like my stomach and my back. So I have to pay a lot more attention to what I eat and the things I wash my clothes with and all of that. But the one thing I did want to say, because I know like in the DMs, we were talking and you were saying like about early delivery, and if it is cholestasis, like you're going to wrap your mind around that if early delivery needs, because it's not just about what's best for baby, but that itching that's from that could cause you to go insane.
Yeah.
So yes. I think that if it's cholestasis, then we just move the plan around. You can still have a VBAC. I've induced a lot of women who have had cholestasis and they've had beautiful.
At like 37 weeks,
can still be induced at 37 weeks. Yeah. It's just going to be a slower induction. I would not go straight to scheduling a C-section.
Mm-mm. I'm seeing that a lot of people do that. But I'm still eager not to.
Well, and it really all depends on what's going on.
Yeah, and how bad it is, like if I do have it. I was also a little bit confused because I was thinking induction can only happen if you're a bit dilated already, because then
they can we induce people all the time that aren't, but what they would have to do is start with some sort of like mechanical dilation. And it really depends on your provider.
Yeah.
So different VBAC friendly / tolerant doctors have different induction rules. But let's wait for the testing, and then we can start talking about like how Taylor and I can help you try to get your body prepped.
Awesome.
You know,
thanks.
The thing about induction, whether it's self or medically, if your body is not ready and won't do it, come hell or high water, it takes a long process.
Yeah.
So that's the most important thing for my VBAC mamas to remember. If you end up being induced, you have to go in there with a willingness, like this can take me 3 or 4 days, whatever, I'm in for the long haul. And you have to be willing to be patient, because what will get you, and this is why I think a lot of the stats are so skewed, is they don't factor in VBAC moms who decide, I can't do this anymore, I want to have a repeat C-section, you know? And there's a lot of first-time moms who are induced that after, we call it a serial induction, after like 2 or 3 days, like your mindset is getting messed up. You're over it. You're exhausted. You get that high, like, I'm going to have the baby. And then you don't have the baby. And then every time they come in and you're expecting for cervical change, but there's no change and it just takes a while, it really messes with your mindset. So a lot of times, when moms are induced that it's going to take a longer induction, you have to really be prepared for that mental exhaustion and be willing to say, you know what, it's going to take 3 or 4 days. It's all right. I'm in for the long haul, you know?
Yeah. And I am, that is something I am worried about with my current energy levels. I mean, I'm barely able to clean the kitchen. Like I've been just in bed on the couch, like all that. So I do wonder about that. I wish I had more energy. I see people online getting iron like infusions because of their anemia. And I'm
I have a couple calm labor students that are doing that right now.
My doctor and my OB both say they don't do that unless your hemoglobin's really low, but my ferritin is really low. So anyways, I do worry about that, like the stamina piece, because I'm a lower energy person in general, and this is like nothing else. So
well, and here's the other thing I just want to lay out on the table. If you feel towards the end of this that like what's best for you is a repeat cesarean, because you don't know if you have the energy to keep fighting for your VBAC, then that's okay.
Yeah.
You know,
so I want to give it a shot. It's just when I hear 3 or 4 days, and when I think about it being like potentially trying to induce sooner and it taking longer, then I'm like, oh man, I don't know about this.
Well, what I really would love for you to do is go in the VBAC chat space on Circle, and I want you to post what's going on. And then Rebecca, of course, is shoving food in her mouth right now, but she is. Just so everybody knows, she has come on board as our L&M, okay, I'm going to say it wrong, perinatal health and life coach. Is that right? Did I say it wrong?
You know, I just put perinatal coach to make it easy. But yes, it's health and life. Listen, there's no health without life, no life without health. So it's all the same.
So she has been a bodywork health coach for like 10, 11 years, 16. okay, whatever. Anywho, so she is going to kind of bring some of her expertise into the membership. And so she could probably help you with some dietary options to try to help your energy levels and, you know, all of that. You have anything you want to add there, Rebecca?
Well, I want to make a note on the testing real quick, because Sometimes, like if you're looking at my chart or whatever, it could say high or low. And that's where like the average person, male versus female, and your OB will have a different parameter for where those numbers are normal. So it might say it looks abnormal to you, but really it's normal because things change during pregnancy. Mm-hmm. So not to worry too much about it. And like Trisha, yeah. just like, wait to talk to them because yeah. it may be totally normal. What your levels are and stuff. But, you know, when I think about iron, that definitely gives you energy. And spinach is like the number one green that has like the most amount of iron in it.
See how much, yeah. I've been doing all the things. I'm taking a liquid supplement and another supplement and with vitamin C and with an enzyme from my naturopath and all that stuff. So yeah. Pardon?
How is sleep?
Not great, but I mean, then there's the fact that I had a fever for a few days and then the itchiness. And then I also almost have sleep apnea. I don't, but I snore a lot. So sleep has never been that great.
Because that can affect your energy too, just not getting sleep at all. And also you're kind of in the state of mind right now of I'm sick. I don't feel good. I don't want to think about doing this. So maybe once this goes away, because if you could tell my voice, we got the same thing here in our house. Mm-hmm. It didn't hit me as bad as it hit Taylor, but she was out of school for 3 days. I'm surprised she went back to school today. So it is going around, but you know, think about that too. Maybe like right now is not the time to make the decision of what you want to do and kind of give yourself some time to feel a little bit better. And then maybe you'll feel differently about it, you know?
Yeah. And then I'm almost done, but then today, I think it's totally unrelated to the thoughts about if it's cholestasis or not, but I did have some bleeding this morning. So we spent most of the day in the hospital, in triage, and the OB there, like monitored baby, everything looks great. And said, sometimes part of the placenta can come loose and it's fine because there's tons of placenta left. And obviously no bleeding is.
This was an OB that said that?
Yeah. She like, I don't know her. She's just in the hospital. My OB wasn't there. But I had
your placenta should not be coming. That's not.
She didn't say that's exactly like, that's for sure what it is, but like it was bright red and it was enough to like go on my pad. So my husband and I went straight to triage and then luckily this girl, like she moves so much. So she kept moving and I was like, okay, that's good. But they had me there like on the monitor for an hour and a half. And then the OB checked me, they did blood work, but all she had to say about like why the bleeding could have happened was that like maybe a piece of the placenta, but she's like, it's like a football field. There's so much of it. It's probably fine. Come back if there's like,
that's a resident. I'm so blown away right now.
No, she's like, honestly, when I saw her, I thought she's like retirement age. Like she's very.
Yeah. Maybe so. Maybe.
Well, she has like gray hair. Like I don't want to right away be like, oh, she's very old, but like she was older.
Okay. So
and they did some blood work there. So I got blood work twice.
Did they have any cervical activity or?
So she did a speculum check, said she saw the blood. She's like, oh yeah, I see it. And then she checked my cervix. But she said, what did she say? She's like, I can fit one fingertip in, but it's still
that's great.
Like, it's still long and thick. Like, is that that's normal for 35 weeks?
So my thought is I'm just going to triage you right now. Have you had sex recently?
No, they asked that too, but nope. Like
okay. Last time you had sex, did you have any spotting?
Nope.
So is this the first time?
Like the first time I have had any spotting, you mean?
Yeah, bleeding.
Besides that, like 5 weeks. Yeah.
Okay. So
and this was more than spotting. Like it wasn't like,
I know. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I'm getting,
they kept using that word in the hospital. And I was like, I don't know if that's exactly what it was, but okay.
Well, I'm sure that it was spotting, what we would classify as spotting. Okay. We're more comfortable with blading than you are.
Yeah, but
so during the course of the last week, have you been having a lot of forceful coughing?
Oh, that is part of this thing that I'm getting over. Like I'm not coughing a ton, but I definitely do have a cough.
Okay.
I'm blowing my nose.
I'm just assessing what I would be asking you if I were your nurse. So is it tapered off now? Is it getting brown now?
It's okay.
So it's very common at the end of pregnancy to have what we would call spotting, which would make you more nervous. Your cervix is so what we call friable right now. Like it's got, it is so like, that's why at the end of pregnancy, sex, cervical exams, even, you know, like vigorous walking or getting on the ball, doing different things can cause some bleeding. But also the fact that you have like a fingertip is, that means your cervix is open.
I was wondering, like she didn't use the word dilated and I don't know why I was
Can you see that?
I could have just asked her. Yeah, yeah.
That's a fingertip.
Yeah.
Right there. That means I can get my fingertip in.
Yeah.
So that means your cervix is opened a little, which can also be an explanation for the bleeding. But my thought is probably related to you being sick and then coughing and all of the things going on. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't worry at 35 weeks, I wouldn't worry about that. If you were filling up a pad or even two pads, then I would be worried.
Yeah. Okay. So, thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
I thought it was like a funny sort of explanation. And she also said, like, have you been overdoing it? I'm thinking like overdoing it to me right now is playing with my son for a little while. Like I'm just so exhausted. So yes, maybe I have been, because really if I did what my body said, it would be like in bed all the time. So
I don't know. Yeah, I think it's probably more related to you being sick and just at the end, you know?
Yeah. Thank you. That's helpful.
You're welcome. Hopefully you feel better. And I, for all of you guys, is not normal for a piece of your placenta to be detaching.
Okay.
That's not normal. I don't know what this lady was thinking. Anyhow. Well, thank you for sharing, lady. I'm glad you're here. Hey, Jessica, how are you?
Hi.
Hey.
I'm doing good. I thought I would pop in. I haven't seen you guys in a while, but, I am pregnant again. So I, previously was in the VBAC lab and I was trying for my VBAC and I did get a VBAC with my son. But now I am pregnant again and, he's 15 months and I'm 12 weeks now. So
congratulations.
Thank you.
We're having all these like second VBAC babies. I'm loving it.
So I'm excited to try for another VBAC. It's a little different now. We have moved since I had my son. So now we're in Pennsylvania instead of New Hampshire. So I just met with my last provider, my new provider, a couple weeks ago. And we had a little trouble because they were trying to figure out how far along I was because it was kind of an unexpected surprise. Not completely unexpected, but unexpected enough that we didn't know how far along we were. So just trying to kind of navigate a new system, a new hospital and doctors, and they're like throwing a lot of different stuff at me. And so that's
when you say different stuff, like, what do you mean? Because honestly, like you should be like good to go. You've had a vaginal delivery last.
I haven't met with like a doctor at the practice. I've only met with a nurse practitioner. And even at my last doctor's office that I worked with, the nurse practitioners, I had a lot of trouble with because they tried to push a lot of different things on me being a VBAC. So this time around, like, I don't know, she was telling me like, I'm obese. And so I need like extra testing because I'm obese and I have to like watch my weight. And, you know, I said to her, like, I don't weigh any more now than I did when I got pregnant with my son. And I mean, I'm not skinny or anything and I get that, but every day and I eat healthy and I didn't over excessively gain with my son. I was very careful about that, but I was the same size with my son when I gave birth as when I gave birth to my daughter. So I kind of planned to be around that same kind of guidelines. And she's like, well, you have to have extra gestational diabetes testing. And so she wants me to go get tested again. Like,
no,
she wants me to go at like 14 weeks for gestational diabetes.
And I wouldn't do it.
Yeah. So I told her I have a huge issue with that because I get very sick from that, the like the glucose test and everything. I end up having a migraine for like 2 days, and I'm a stay-at-home mom now with two kids instead of one. And yeah. I can't be down. Like, I can't have my husband take off work and like,
yeah. Well, number one, that's her opinion. And that is not what all providers do. And this is one of my pet peeves, along with big babies and advanced maternal age. They need to individualize care, not base it on numbers or this or that or a general thing. And like you said, like they need to take you into account. Like, where were you with you had a VBAC. This was the weight you were at. You didn't have to do all that with the other pregnancies, I'm sure. So you just tell them no.
Okay.
I wouldn't let them because that's her way or her preferences. I would not agree to doing the extra testing at 14 weeks. Now, if you're having signs and symptoms of gestational diabetes, that's different.
Right.
Then you investigate. But I would not do it, especially that early in pregnancy, because your numbers could be off anyway, just due to all the different hormonal changes and dietary changes, and you're sick or whatever, you know? So I would just say, no, thank you. I appreciate you offering, but I don't want to do that, you know? And if, when you do the testing, you can ask if they'll do the fresh test. It's a newer test and it doesn't involve that, the glucose drink. And okay. There are alternatives that you guys can ask for. One alternative, if you're okay with sticking yourself, is doing your own blood sugar testing for 2 weeks. I personally would do that because I get migraines from that drink too. It makes me so sick, sick.
I tried this last time to do that because with my daughter, I ended up having to do the test twice because I got a false negative in the beginning. So this last time I asked to do the like needle and test myself, but my insurance won't cover it. So I was like, okay, well, I'm stuck with doing it. So they made a big hoopla because I wanted to only do the 3-hour test, but they ended up letting me do that. So that's what I was trying to do here. And they're like, well, we rather you get do the testing. And I'm like, well, I can't afford to pay for all of that to do the testing with my insurance covering it. So They've kind of been, the nurse practitioner was fighting me on everything with that. So I figured she had the nutritionist call me from the office, and the nutritionist basically told me, get an appointment with a doctor at the office, not a nurse practitioner, and talk to a doctor. So
good, that's where.
And so I think like the week after Thanksgiving, I go back and hopefully can talk to the doctor about it and maybe have a better outlook on it.
If the nurse practitioners are so off base that even the nutritionist in the office is saying this, why are they keeping them? Because not everybody would be strong-willed enough to question them, you know? It just makes no sense to me. I guess they need help. They need help. But either way, well, we're glad to have you back.
Thanks.
And congratulations. So you had a boy last, and you, what is number one?
A girl.
Are you going to find out what you're having this time?
We are. I'm pretty sure it's a boy, but we'll see. I've been wrong every time, though, but I feel exactly the same way I felt with my son and not the way I felt with my daughter. So
Well, I had four boys in a row and I felt differently with a few of them. So you never know. But I did know with my Lassie, knew he was a boy and I was dead right. All right. Well, thank you for sharing. Rebecca, how are you today? And we're matching. Did you see that? That was... we've got, yeah, we've got the same color on.
I love it. I've got all kinds of colors. I'm going to say all kinds. It's usually pink, purple, or like some sort of teal color, but it's got to be colorful. I'm doing pretty good. I'm a little bit ill. I feel way better today than I did yesterday. I've been like trying to avoid it at all costs because Taylor got sick. 16 kids in her class are out.
It's funny like, that you say that because Grayson's pediatrician today, because I took him today, and he was like, they need to close the schools. I'm just saying, they did it for the other thing. They need to do it for this thing. And
yeah,
it's a small Montessori school, so I don't know what's happening out in the real world.
Well, Taylor goes to Montessori too, and they have changed things since COVID to where they're not sharing as many items, but they still are. Now, you know, like now they're getting a little more lax about it, but here in Cincinnati, there are more kids are hospitalized for the flu right now, a ton of them. But she got a fever of like 103 was the highest, and we were able to bring it down. Like as soon as we gave her the medicine, it came down, which was great. And she has pretty much been good since then. And then I avoided it until yesterday. And then I had like a fever of 100, not too bad, but I took two naps while Peyton slept, and I'm not a napper. I couldn't even nap when she was first born. I'm just like, I just go without sleep, I guess. But doing pretty good. She started cluster feeding. And so the last few days I've been up every couple hours feeding her. And some of the time she like is wide awake, doesn't want to go back down, or she'll cry. And I'm like, oh my gosh. But that's where I'm at right now.
Well, we're happy to see you.
I'm happy to be here. This is my favorite. It's like my special place where I be back. It's been a year. It's crazy.
I know. I sent Gina a message and I was like, we miss your face. You need to come back in so we can see you.
Yeah. Well, she's 1 year postpartum, isn't she? Or close
to? Yeah, they just celebrated Leo's birthday this last week, I think.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at Sarah, 26 weeks?
I know.
And I'm like, you weren't even pregnant. It's awesome. I love it.
I know. I love it too. I know. I'm getting there. Every people are popping in and then you guys are moving and I like keep seeing Sarah over there. Well, thank you for sharing, Rebecca.
Absolutely.
Hi, Rachel. 12 weeks.
I can never get it to work. So it saves from like the time before. I'm 13 actually.
All right. I'll edit it. We'll give you that. We're going to give you that week.
Thank you.
Got it. There we go. How are you feeling?
I was going to say I didn't throw up today, but that's not true. I threw up on the cat, not this one, the other one.
Oh, poor cat.
Yeah, I feel like I'm getting a little bit more energy. I have my OB appointment tomorrow, so hopefully I don't have the same experience as Jessica and have someone constantly push back on things. So we'll see. I did get my medical records from my last office in California, and I was reading through them, and I took a screenshot. There's only a paragraph. Well, you can't see it. There's only a paragraph for the 5 days that I was in the hospital. Like
what? How is that even possible?
I don't know.
Everything we learn in nursing schools, if it's not charted, it didn't happen.
Right. So I don't like, I know that I got the epidural at 4 p.m., but that's not in there. I know, you know, when she was born. And then I don't know, some of the things are weird. The first part.
Can you send me that screenshot in Circle?
Yeah. I would love to hear.
I want to see, does it say like a login name? What does it say for who charted that?
That's at the top of the page.
I'm trying to figure out if that's just doctor's notes or if that's nursing notes.
I don't know.
Because we have to chart, I mean.
Everything, right?
Yeah. Like, I mean, even your vital signs, your temperature, all of that, your pain scale.
No.
They should have fetal heart monitoring.
They said that, the plan for the induction was to start with Cervidil, right? That's great. But I had Cervidil and Cytotec, and I had my membrane swept, and I had my water broken, and like I had all of these things done.
None of that's in there. Okay, so we have to chart the time that we break the water. We have to chart the amount, the color, and your temperature.
So, do you think I need to contact the hospital that I delivered at to ask and get medical?
Where did you get it from?
From my.
You got that from your provider?
Yeah, I got it from my last provider.
That's probably why. It's just a condensed version. I don't know why your induction wouldn't be in there, but I would call the hospital and get your entire record. Just give them the dates of maybe the day before the induction to the day after you went home and ask for whatever records for that period.
Because that's what I was interested in. That's what I was really interested in learning, because I have so many
blackouts. You have to get that from the hospital, not your provider.
Okay.
Because imagine if they kept all that at the provider's office. You're talking about every 15 minutes we have to chart fetal heart tones. Okay. That's a lot. They're not going to keep that.
Okay.
That makes me feel better. I was like, holy smokes, that is bad nursing.
Well, the one thing that I thought was interesting, it says Foley catheter was in place, and that was after I received antibiotics, so that must have been the stab in the arm that I felt. She was consented. Don't think so. She was prepped and drained.
They wouldn't give you antibiotic shot. That should have been in your IV.
I got stabbed by the anesthesiologist that I had for my epidural was fabulous. The guy that I had for my C-section was really gruff and really off. I mean, I thought I was going to die. I was just praying that the baby and I made it through.
Yeah, but you're talking about the antibiotics before the surgery, right?
It says the patient has been laboring. She had a deep deceleration down to 70 to 80 for 10 minutes, recovered with positioning. Then we had her try pushing and had deep deceleration again without any fetal movement. Decision was made to proceed. She received antibiotics. She was consented. She was prepped and draped.
Yeah, the antibiotics would have been via the IV. I'm not sure what they would have given you. The only thing that they could have given you, if they were trying to stop your contractions, they might have given you tuberculine. It's okay. A tongue twister. And we do give that IM, and it relaxes the uterus like that. Yeah. So that could be, and it will make your heart race.
I don't know. That day that I don't know. I don't remember. And
I would get your chart from the hospital.
Okay.
But yeah, don't you love that when you read and you're like, consented who? Like, was that another version of me? Yeah. Anyway, well, yeah, I would definitely call the hospital. Where'd she go? Did she just pop off? Okay. Well, we'll wait for her to come back. Sarah, how are you? 26 weeks. I can't believe it.
Good. I just had the glucose test last week. That went perfectly, other than I didn't feel great, but I don't have to do it again, so that's good.
That is fantastic. Yay.
How's
everything else going?
Well, I feel like I have so much in common with Katie right now, with like weird bleeding episode without explanation, and then I was convinced I had cholestasis last week because for the last 3 weeks I've been having itchy ankles that come on in the middle of the night. And so I think it was on Friday I called my OB and I just said, like, should we do labs or I need to get some relief because I'm not sleeping well, waking up twice a night to itch my ankles. And they were like, not worried because it's so early and it's not on my hands. And then over the weekend, it started getting better. So I'm not sure if it was just a weird reaction to like an environmental thing, but last night was the first night I didn't wake up in 3 weeks.
Well, and also remember that circulation and also nerve endings can also feel like itching as mm-hmm. well. So there's a lot of different things that can cause weird itching episodes during pregnancy.
Yeah,
and swelling and stretching.
Yeah, I guess that was mostly weird because it was only like really intense in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
It seemed like that was related to cholestasis, but I don't know. I still haven't done the labs. I've been waiting to do that because it started getting better. But the only thing that helps is cortisone 10, Katie. I don't know if you've gotten it or that works really well. But I mean, all of your body, I can't imagine.
Yeah. Itching can drive you absolutely insane.
It's like whack-a-mole for me. It's literally like there's just like a different area and it pops up and then pops up and then pops up.
I have it on my belly too, like right below my belly button. But I thought that was more of just like stretching, dryness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
can you imagine our poor mothers before they had Google? Like they just were like, oh, it's normal. This is what happens. You know, like now we're like 3 a.m. and we're Googling and seeing every horror terrible thing that it could be. And then you're right. Convinced it is that. I don't know if Google is a good thing. I think it might be a bad thing. Well, we're glad it's going away.
If it's not cholestasis, it could just be like inflammation too. Because as like,
I think it's kind of
like a natural swelling.
Yeah.
Which
I guess I've noticed like a sensitivity, like at season changes since I had my daughter 2 years ago. Like I've kind of had like an episode spring and fall. So.
Some sort
it
of
could be almost like
yeah. I wonder too about activity changes as well. Or like, are you propping your feet up during the day and stuff? Because I wonder if like when you're laying in bed, they're not elevated. So I don't know.
I guess I only prop them up if I'm like reading a book in my daughter's room. But other than that, I mean, activity wise, I've been able to do everything. I mean, I feel pretty good.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, let's just be happy that it's going away. And we're going to pray that babies will too. I'm really wondering if it's related to you being sick and like getting sick, you know, and fighting off a virus, because it is very common to have itchiness with a virus. There's several viruses that have rashes even associated with them that a lot of people don't get. But when you do, it's very annoying. So, all right, let me real quick. Rachel, did you have anything else to say? We lost you there. Okay, I just want to make sure we know. Hey, Becca, how are you?
Doing well.
It's always that awkward moment of trying to remember how to unmute when someone calls on you on Zoom.
Well, and then my phone, like my, I'm on my phone and it wasn't like clicking to let you unmute. And I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
So
how are you feeling 4 months postpartum? You know, we have the postpartum hangout now.
Yes. Did I RSVP to the
not that you can't. No, not that you can't come to this one, but I'm just saying like for some of you guys, that have already had the babies, you guys, it's kind of new. So not everybody knows about it.
Yeah. That's good to know.
But yeah, we've got some postpartum mamas on here. We have no problem with y'all coming.
Yeah. Yep. Doing well. She just started sleeping mostly through the night, like one feeding. So that's been really nice. So
I'm sure.
Yeah. Yep. So we're doing good. Finally.
She's 4 months. Wow. Yeah.
She still doesn't take a bottle, so that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think we have a couple other moms. I can't remember if it's in this group or in Calm Labor that are going through kind of the same thing. Have you tried paced feeding? Or we've got a reel Yeah. So some babies, that's the magic key. And then other babies are like, hell no, ain't doing it.
Yeah. We've tried about a dozen different bottles or nipples. We've tried sippy cups. We've tried cup feeding. We've seen a lactation consultant who's actually been wonderful. I've been talking and working with her. My phone's about to die for, since she was like 3 weeks old. We've been working with her. And she just, at first we thought it was just stubbornness and she wasn't taking it, but now it's like, it's almost like she tries, she just doesn't understand. So we keep trying, cause she's doing better. Like she's trying to hold. We skipped the bottle now cause that's not working at all. So we went to like a sippy that has like a real small thin nipple that seems to be doing better.
Yeah.
And she tries to like hold it. And I mean, this is like a toddler size sippy cup. So it's kind of funny to see her have it. And she tries to suck it, but I don't know. We'll figure it out at some point, I'm sure.
But. Yeah, she'll eventually do it because, you know, eventually we can't breastfeed.
Yeah. I'm like, at a year, kid, you're done. So like, you got to figure something out.
Figure it out.
Yeah.
I wonder, have you tried even like, trying like a little medicine cup, see if she can like,
yes, get it. So I have these little, I'll show you, hold on. I don't know if any other moms like have these cups for the kids. Like they have like these tiny ones, like it, like literally my whole hand fits around it. And it's like teaching them how to drink from a cup. And then this one's just a little bit bigger once they learn. Some of them even come with like a straw. They're super nice, but we even tried those because like you can manipulate it a little bit too to like try and like feed it into her mouth.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
she's just not quite there yet, but she's getting closer. And with her being like 4 months, I'm thinking when we start like solids at six, that we'll be able to kind of like transition her to something. I don't care what. So
other we'll than see you.
Yeah. Well, because right now she comes to work twice a day and then I come home for lunch. So I'm lucky that I'm able to do that.
That's a lot.
It's just, that's also a lot too. So.
Yeah. I've worked with some nurses that have gone through the same thing. And like, I mean, some of them night shift and like their partners having to bring the baby up to the hospital because it will not take anything.
This is not safe sleep at all, but my lactation consultant is also a nurse practitioner. And she was working at the hospital. She still is. And she was on nights when her son was born. And she said up until like 4 months, her husband would bring him sometime, like, I don't know, later, like 9 or 10 at night. So she would nurse, she would change him, get him all ready, put him back in the car seat. And he would just sleep next to the bed in his car seat, because if he was like disturbed, he had to like nurse to go back to sleep. And that's what happened up until like 4 months. And then he started taking a bottle for her husband. But I'm like, good grief.
Yeah, I've had a lot of nurse friends that have gone through the same, like just could not get their baby to take a bottle.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. And it's
interesting. To go back to work. You have to.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it is what it is. I'm kind of at that point where it's just like, it is what it is. And I'm not stressing about it anymore. It's, you can't do anything about it necessarily. So
welcome.
We keep trying. Yeah. Yep. We keep trying, but I'm not going to force it.
Well, we're happy to see you.
Yeah. It's good to be here.
Can I ask you a question, Becca?
Yeah.
When you had like the different bottles and stuff, did you like try one bottle like multiple times or did you just switch to like the next one? Okay.
Yeah, we tried multiple ones and I even go back and we'll try like different ones and stuff. We've stuck with malt, like the most we've tried is the MOM, the MAM, because it seems to be the best. Her problem too is her hard palate is so short that she like gags on a lot of things. Like she wouldn't even take a passy or anything now. Occasionally I can get her to suck on a passy a little bit. And so I think that like, I don't know. I'm just trying to get her to practice sucking on other things other than like her hands and me. So
Yeah, I just wonder sometimes. It's kind of like when the kids won't eat the green beans. It's like, try it 10 times before we give up on it. It's like that same one they just need to get the habit of. If we switch it to something else too quickly, then they're like, wait, I'm confused. I was starting to get the hang of this, and now you want me to do something else. But
yeah, we've stuck with the mom for, oh gosh, since I've been back to work, it's basically been the mom. We haven't really tried much else until recently. I was like, okay, the mom isn't working. Let's just do a sippy cup, because eventually she's going to go to that anyway. And I realized that like the nipple on the sippy cups we have are like a lot smaller. They're not squishy, which is might be a problem, but they're a lot smaller. And I think that helps her. And then she also is at that age where she likes to grab and hold things. So I'm wondering if like her just wanting to do that, like, and just giving it to her to practice, if eventually she'll just, I don't know, maybe start taking that or something. Who knows?
She's like, I'm grown already. Get out of the bottles. Give me the cup.
Yeah. I, and if that's the case, fine. Just take something. Like, I'd like more than like 3 hours to myself, you know?
Well, we'll all be praying for that you get that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Hi, other Rebecca. How are you?
I think that's me. There's so many other Rebeccas, Beccas on this phone.
How are you?
I'm doing well. 34 weeks in a day and getting ready for my VBAC. So my first was a girl. And so this one is also a girl, but my pregnancy and progression has been like night and day. The first one was like every little thing popped up. I had, you know, failed the 1 hour glucose. I had elevated AFP. I was, my blood pressure started spiking towards the end. So they had me taking baby aspirin, but I never was preeclampsia, thank goodness. And this one's just been a breeze, just cruising right along. And a couple weeks ago when I was having conversations with my provider after vacation, just trying to get a plan and birth plan and talking about how to, you know, what's going to happen or how to plan for this, she started talking about all these things that were like making my hair stand up. And so at 30 weeks, I switched from an OB provider to now a midwifery group, and really just excited and pumped and looking forward to, you know, finishing out the next couple of weeks and hopefully having a successful VBAC.
Is this your first happy hour?
I've only joined the class like a couple weeks ago, and I was traveling to visit in-laws in South Africa. And so I got back from there and I was like hit or miss in terms of the dates and times, just based on me traveling for the last month and then, you know, trying to play catch up with work and other items, life going on.
Well, welcome. Wasn't sure if you, because Taylor, our team doula, she does them as well. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't sure if you would come on when Taylor was on here. Well, welcome. We're glad to have you.
Thanks.
We love our VBAC mamas. Not that we don't love all our mamas, but my VBAC mamas have a special place.
Yeah.
So I'm really glad to have you. Like that's really awesome, because sometimes just switching providers can be terrifying. So I'm super proud of you.
Not only switching providers, but I'm switching hospital centers, like the whole kit and caboodle. But I think it's honestly for the best. I'm feeling like I'm getting a fresh start, like from ground zero.
Was the other group the one that you had your first birth with?
It was. I didn't deliver with my particular provider because she was out of town. But her backup provider was the one that was on call when I went into labor with my first. And it just happened to be like one intervention after another as soon as I got into triage. And it was like nothing. Like I didn't have the support. I had a little bit of education. I took hypnobirthing, but I just felt like I got bullied and pressured into things. And I was just kind of forced on a clock or a timeline. And I feel like I got gypped out of what I wanted for my first. So really looking forward to
hence why I do what I do. Wait, where'd she go? There you are. It always moves when someone pops off or pops on. Yeah, it's such a shame. Like, it's so maddening to me that's so common. It's frustrating. We shouldn't have to like go in there and fight so hard for the natural process of birth, you know?
Yeah, I really appreciate your class and just taking me through the exercises of like revisiting that trauma. I didn't realize like how many different things, like I just tried to ignore it or put it past, you know, just leave it behind in the rear view. But I think going through it and trying to recall the steps and things that happened, it was really what led me to kind of question, well, wait a minute, like that doesn't make any sense. I wasn't in any real danger. Like they didn't rush me back to an operating room. They let me sleep like for an hour before I went into surgery. It's so crazy to me that I was just so exhausted in that point and at the end of my rope. And that's okay because I'm safe and she's safe, but I just want to do things differently.
Yeah. Well, and I think like a huge thing that I think is so important is that, yeah, obviously we want our baby to be healthy and safe and we want to be healthy and safe, but we also have a right to grieve the things that we didn't get that we wanted or the things that happened that maybe shouldn't have happened. And I think a lot of times, and this is something I really battle with my calm labor students, the mindset on not giving themselves permission to be like pissed off if they didn't get the birth they wanted, or if they ended up in the OR or they, and you know, like whatever it is that was different. It doesn't matter what I think of it or what someone else thinks of it. It's what you think of it. And if you feel disappointed, it's okay to be disappointed. It's okay to be mad. It's okay to feel whatever you feel and not let anyone say, well, you know, the baby's healthy and you're healthy, so that's all that matters. No, that's not all that matters. That is a very significant piece of the pie. Yes, I will say that. But it also matters how you feel about the whole thing, you know? So I think that's important. And that's something, especially the you guys as a group can share with women who are for reals in your life, you know, that have had a birth experience and they're sharing with you, because you can always tell when a mama is like sharing and like, well, you know, at least the, you know, the baby's good and I didn't really get this, but blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? You can tell when they're just saying what they think they're supposed to say, like say, hey, no, it's all right. If you're mad, be mad. Like, it's all right. Like you can be half, you can feel it all at the same time. You can be very thankful that your baby is healthy and you're healthy, but you can also be upset and sad or whatever the feeling is, you know?
Absolutely.
Sometimes they just, someone needs just, well, we're glad to have you. Maybe next week you could share your first birth story with us.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's me or Taylor that's leading next week, but just when we get to you, just be like, hey, Trish wanted me to share my first birth story, because I may forget by then. Depends. Okay. And next week is Fearless Birth Experience Week. So we have 3 happy hours during that, which all of you guys obviously are invited. So Monday night, 7:15, Wednesday, 7:15, Friday, 7:15. And then Saturday morning, I think we have one at 9:30 in the morning. So there's 4, you can come to them all. You can come to one, whatever. And you share that your story with us. Or if you want to wait till the next week, that'll be just the VBAC moms. It'll be a little more intimate. Because sometimes the Fearless Birth ones, we've had like 50 women. It just depends on the week. So you may want to wait until the next one. It's just the VBAC mamas. That way they can kind of give, like, you know, respond, and it's a little more intimate. But remember, you guys, next week we have the Fearless Birth workshops as well. Even if you've come to them before, it always is good to come and get pumped up and like revisit those fears and like get your mindset reset, especially you guys that are getting closer to delivery. Jalen, who is not able to talk, but I think she joined in my first Fearless Birth experience in June. I feel like that's right. Maybe she can pop in here in the chat room. Well, thank you for sharing, Rebecca. We're super glad you're here. Yes, she said she did. I thought she did. There's several of them. I can't believe some of my June Fearless Birth mamas are delivering right now. We've got one in the hospital right now that her water broke today. All right, Brittany, how are you?
I am good, been better, but dealing with a bit of a, I don't know if I picked up a small stomach bug or something I ate. So I've been dealing with that yesterday and today, but other than that, I'm the one that's been commenting and asking questions about having a big baby. My first, obviously had a C-section and she was 11 pounds, 4 ounces. So, my provider did provide some information as to both sides, but I feel like it was more of, if this, or this happens, you're going to end up in a C-section anyway. And, you know, you can still try to labor first, but most of the time recovery is harder if you try to labor and then do a C-section. So ultimately my husband and I decided to have a C-section. And she was big, but, especially after taking your course, but then just some other research I've done on my own as well, I feel like I possibly could have birthed her. Maybe not. I don't know. But so now I do want to try a VBAC, kind of regardless of how baby's measuring later on. I'm 25 weeks as of today, so no real measurements yet. But I've mentioned it to my provider, and I have not had an in-depth conversation with her. I kind of wanted to get through your course and get some confidence and kind of create a birth plan to take into her to discuss it like in full. But I did bring it up to her to kind of see if that was still an option with her. And I think she might be more of a VBAC tolerant provider rather than friendly. She said she would let me if I promised to come in and stay monitored, and she really, really wants to watch the scar because several hours of labor on the scar with uterine rupture and so on and so forth. And I don't know. I've been with her like 13 years. I'm very comfortable with her and her nursing staff and the hospital and stuff like that. And comfort is a big, big thing for me. It's hard to change to, you know, something new. So I definitely want to have another conversation with her about it, but I feel like I just need to get kind of a full birth plan in place so that I can say, these are all the things I want to do or want to try. Are any of them an issue? And then kind of go from there. But I guess just kind of having the confidence to bring that up with her. And if she says, well, this, you know, she's the doctor, not me. So how do I say, well, actually I've taken this course or I've read this or I've read that and, you know, this information. So I think just getting the confidence to be able to,
yeah,
to do that is what I'm struggling with at the moment.
Yeah. And that's super hard. And so I'm gonna say a couple things. One, because you've been with her so long, it might be a little harder. Hold on one second.
I'm teaching.
Yeah.
Can I look at my name?
Sorry, babe, go out. Sorry. It's of course my teenager, not my little one. It's amazing. Thank you for showing me right now. Showing me her fingernail because it's really long because she normally bites them. Anyway, so the thing about it is that as far as VBAC, everything she's telling you, those things are things that lend towards you having a repeat cesarean, you know? So that worries me right off the bat. The other thing is that step forward, if you switch providers, will probably be the only part that's hard for you. Going to a new one that you know for sure is VBAC friendly that part is going to be super easy for you. And even speaking up to someone you don't know that's new to you is going to be so much easier than to someone you're super familiar with, because you probably have a sense of you don't want to offend her, or you know what I mean? Because you've known her for so long. And I mean, probably since you were young, really young as well, you know, so there's that maternal like authority figure as well. But I'm just going to shoot straight. Like what she's saying to you is all going to lend towards the likelihood of a repeat cesarean, because number one, for a uneventful vaginal delivery, you need to labor at home. You need to be up and moving. You need to be, you know, not restricted. You need to, big baby, even more so. You need movement. You need natural positions. You need to be on your hands and knees, all the things that I think she's going to fight you on. So what I would say is I would really sit down, write out what it is you really want for your birth, and then think to the future. If you had to look back and the uncomfortable feelings of speaking up to her or standing up to her or even switching, and you end up having a repeat cesarean, like what part are you going to wish you switched, like did differently, right? So either really figure out how you can speak up and stand up for your rights with her, or I would switch, because you don't want to look back and think, God, what if I had done this? Or what if I'd done that? Because she's going to go home. This is work to her, but to you, it's your birth story. It's the rest of your life. And what happens in our birth, we never leave behind. What happens in her work, she goes home and that's that, you know? So like, I'm not trying to be harsh at all or like, but I really would try to figure out like, what is it that Brittany most wants for her birth? And then what are the steps we need to take to get there? Because you're right, you may not be able to push out this baby, but you damn well should be able to try, because your body is making this baby, you know? So like, I really, and the thing is that half the crap they do to us is the reason we can't push a baby that we make. Laying on our back, putting our feet in stirrups, all those things are conducive to baby getting stuck. This blows my mind every time I say it, but the go-to like last resource, like, oh my God, this baby is stuck. We can't get this baby out. Get her into Gaskin's position. Guess what position that is? Hands and knees. We think the baby's big. Like, why don't we start on the hands and knees? Like, that blows my mind every time. Like, they know that if you get on hands and knees, the likelihood of rescuing this baby who's stuck is going to happen. Like, tell me how that makes any sense at all. If we know that hands and knees opens up the pelvis more, why not start there? Why not push everybody there? Like, it makes no sense to me. So I'm going to tell you, whatever you have to do to protect your birth, do it now. Don't wait, you know? So like, when do you go back? How many weeks are you? So 25?
25. I go back in 3 weeks.
Yeah. I would really sit down with your partner, your husband, whoever, and sit down and be like, what is most important to me? Is it my chance for my V back? Is it having, you know, like whatever your birth narratives, write it down. Like what, when you picture that birth you want, write it down. Don't let your fears or, oh, I don't want to even hope for that because it probably won't. Write it all down. And then let's go through it and be like, okay, what do I need to make this happen? Will this doctor allow this to happen? Because even just being there and them like, putting that pressure of, oh, we need to watch the scar. We need to do this. That's just going to create anxiety and fear in you, you know?
Right.
So I would really just decide what's most important to you. And then even write it out in the VBAC chat in Circle. And like Taylor and I can, you know, and all these VBAC moms can pop in there. And I wish Gina were here, because Gina ended up having a repeat cesarean after labeling and getting, you know, and she will tell you, like, you know, she went through the emotions. I'm not, not discrediting that, but she's also able to look back. Cassie too, you guys, you have to listen to Cassie's podcast recording. It's coming out Friday. Like, I was crying during the recording, because for some of you guys have been coming and remember, Cassie was upset. Like she had a C-section for her twins 18 years ago, this baby, and she did everything. And she ended up having, she chose to have a repeat cesarean. Her provider was going to let her keep going. She did not want to keep going anymore. And while we were recording, because when I record, I do it on video, but I don't show the videos for the podcast. We just do audio, but I was watching her face and what a difference from when she shared her birth story here on the VBAC happy hour. And I was like, Cassie, like, I see joy. My gosh, like it was so beautiful and I can't wait. It's airing. I think they're airing it Friday, but it was just like, you deserve that chance. Like Cassie's husband, like went all over town finding the stuff for the midwife's brew, which by the way, if you even think that you're going to try it, order it as soon as possible. I don't care how far along you are, because finding the apricot nectar is like near impossible. You have to get it online. But he was driving around, he got flowers and that was while she was on the happy hour. I don't know. I didn't know this. She told me this when we were doing the podcast. And he's in the background, him and her daughter were setting up her environment and getting ready because she was going to do the midwife's brew. And she had this whole experience of dimmed light and laboring on the birthing ball and having her partner there with her. Like, you want that experience, even if you choose a repeat cesarean after that. So who cares if you're tired for a couple of days after? You still are going to be able, like Cassie, to look back and have that experience, you know? So I would just, that's my words of wisdom for you today.
Can I add
one? You deserve that chance.
I want to add one thing, Brittany. I just want to say that even if you end up going with another provider during this pregnancy, does not mean that you have to break up with this doctor of 13 years. She can go back to being your OB for your like annuals later. So if you're like feeling comfortable, don't want to leave her, this is temporary.
So she's actually not an OB. She's a midwife. And I wanted to ask like kind of some of the differences on that. If, I mean, I guess assumed that a midwife would be more VBAC friendly. I don't really know why I assumed that, but it's not turning out to be that way. Her husband is an OB. But yeah, she is actually a midwife. So I've gone to her for years, but when I first started seeing her, she, you know, wasn't delivering babies or anything. And then by the time I started, before I had my first one, she became a midwife. But yeah, she seems very, I guess textbook would be the right term, as far as, you know, in line with the other doctors and stuff.
I've always called them doctor midwives, but someone recently called them midwives. And so I thought that was pretty brilliant. there are OBs who are so much like what you would think of when it comes to midwives. And then there's midwives who are so much what you think of when it comes to doctors. Right. And it's funny because I've been a travel nurse for so long and I've been at so many hospitals, and there's that character at each hospital. There's like really hippie midwife, really hippie doctor, really doctory midwife, really like an insecure midwife who asks questions all the time and doesn't have confidence. Like there's that role everywhere. So Yes, generally midwives are trained in a more holistic, full body, you know, natural birth process, but you're always going to have those ones. And I would say a lot of that reason is probably because she's married to an OB and he probably influences, especially if they were married before she became a midwife, you know, like he's probably influenced a lot in her unknowingly. It's probably influenced a lot. What? Because she's a part of him worrying about his medical malpractice and lawsuits and all of that, you know? So I would say that probably lends into that as well. But I think that more than likely what you probably need to do is where are you located?
I'm in Texas, very, very small town. Dallas is probably the biggest place and it's 5 hours from where I live, but my doctor that I go to is actually about an hour and a half away. And the closest to there is probably Austin at about 3.5 hours away. But I live in a big town.
Yeah, you don't necessarily need a big town. You just need a friendly provider. So I always tell everybody, if there's like a mom's group on Facebook that you belong to, you can post unknown if you're worried that she might see it or someone who knows, and just ask the other moms if they had a VBAC or they tried to have a VBAC and they felt like their provider was very supportive. But then go a little deeper. And if they say yes, ask them why they felt that way. And then start like filtering through that, because sometimes why some people feel comfortable with the provider may not be necessarily what you're looking for. So I would definitely really investigate that. And I would do that now, even if you're not sure if you're going to switch. That way you have a thought, because let's say you go back in 3 weeks with what you're wanting, like, and you have in the course, you have the VBAC, the provider interview questions. I always recommend, and I've got the VBAC section, but I would go through, highlight what's most important to you, like 5 things, and then ask her, like, start with, okay, let's say that I want to, you know, no matter how big this baby is, I want a toe lack. I want to push on hands and knees. Can we do that? And just watch her and see, you know? So you'll be able to tell a lot by asking those key questions, but I would go ahead and do the groundwork and have it ready. That way it's not like all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, I have to switch. And you're like, no, what do I do? And then you're going to be stuck and halted by fear, you know? So have it ready just in case. Write out your narrative, what's important to you, highlight what's important to you on the interview questions, and then watch her body language. And if she says things like, well, we need to figure things out before we talk about that, or we need to wait till later, then you need to get a new provider ASAP, because she's just putting you off, you know. But your birth experience is way more important than how she may feel about you switching or whatever, you know. But we're happy you're here. Sorry, this was an intense one.
That's okay.
We'll be around here. I just don't want you guys not even get the opportunity to try, unless it's a legit reason. Because we've had some students where even I'm like, yeah, repeat C-section sounds like the best plan for you, you know? But in your case, no, especially for a big baby. Let me just ask really quick, how tall are you and your husband?
So I am 5'10", and broad built, big boned built. My entire family is. And my husband is 6'3", same thing, broad built, big bone. Yeah.
This bothers me so much. Like, it bothers me so much that they have these like guidelines for all babies, that all babies at 33 weeks should be this size. When you just walk in the mall, we're not all exactly the same size at the same ages, you know, like my husband is 6'4". We didn't have babies together, but Lord help me, had we, I'm sure that I would have a very big baby and that would be expected, you know, like, I don't get it. And I went to the opposite extreme with my daughter. She was so tiny and she was tiny my whole pregnancy. And she's never been on the growth chart. She's always been under it. She follows it, but she's under it. She's 17 and she's 4'11", you know, and she's just tiny. She always has been, you know, and I got the other part of that, like the pressure from her being so small. So yeah. So I don't know. I don't understand why they can't figure out that not all humans are the exact same size when they're inside you. It makes no sense to me, but welcome. We're glad that you're here.
Thank you.
Let me see who Jalen is. Where, let me see. Ruth, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. Hi.
Doing good?
Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. I just woke up not too long from a nap. I was too tired. So I think I'm still waking up and my face may look swollen and stuff. So
you look beautiful.
Thank you.
You're 29 Thanks. Weeks. I can't believe you're 29 weeks.
Same. I keep telling my husband, I'm like, I can't believe how quickly this pregnancy has gone. It's been great so far. Like, symptom wise, nothing really crazy. Just last week, I started having like intense, is it pelvic pain, girdle, yeah, to the point where like sometimes standing up from the bed, I have to like crawl, I have to crawl or something. So I just ordered the belt,
I forget what it's
called. Yeah, from Amazon. So yeah, waiting for that to come so I can get some relief. But other than that, I've not really had like any serious symptoms. Mentally, like, okay, so that's like the physical aspect. And then in my head, what I'm trying to deal with right now is like actually putting pen to paper and like writing my birth plan. Because I just feel like, oh, what if last time I did that and almost nothing on there was like honored. So I'm just like, okay, what's the point? I might as well just go with the flow this time around and see what happens. And
no, we're not doing that.
Okay. So yeah, that's one thing. I'm like, okay, I think I need to actually, you know, come up with something, you know, something now, like, because I had a meeting or something with the doctors and they were asking me and I was actually like, I actually don't have any, I don't have any requests for this bed. So yeah. And then another fear is like, oh, what if I stay at home too long, like live at home too long and end up having a baby at home or something.
Remind me. Your first birth, did you push at all? Did you get complete and pushing or tummy?
No, I only got to 3 centimeters.
Have that baby at home.
Okay. Yeah.
We're going to count you as a first time mom in that case.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So yeah, that helps. Because I'm like, what if I get too calm and it's like, oh, until you get to this place, then go to the clinic, and then I get there too quickly. And because again, it's like not Dakota, winter storms and everything, like typically January, February. And I'm just like, oh, what if we're stuck? Like the roads are closed or something. Yeah. I know that's outside of my control. So yeah,
you know what? Then you'll do what they used to do back in the old days.
Right.
And you have access to a labor nurse and a doula.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I think those are all unfounded fears.
Right. Yeah.
I think you need to rein those in.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to do. So like just journal and listening to all the stories to help some like prepare my mind and just, you know, getting myself ready.
Come to Fearless Birth again yeah, next
week. Yes, classes. I signed up again.
I want you guys in there and like sharing and encouraging. Like, it's really funny because Cassie was sharing, and I did not know that like the deciding factor for her was Emily connected with her in the Fearless Birth Facebook group and really just made her like, especially for the VBAC moms, like you guys know, knowing other people who are going through what you're going through is so critical. And so get in there, and I'm doing a special drawing for any of my students that come in there for a special prize. So the more you interact with the moms, and like, even if they don't join, that's fine. They still need to know that they're supported and that they can do this, and that they're right in their feelings, like they're validated. Like, it's just so important, you know? So make sure you guys come. And I love that when, especially the labor pain and the coping, like the more you hear it, the more your mindset just gets, you know?
Yeah.
All right, ladies, I need to go get my child in bed. I told him he had to go to bed early because he's sick, and he's probably like, woohoo, she's still on happy hour. I told Rebecca, thank God I had the email set to go out because I completely blanked and forgot about happy hour today. So I need like a loud siren alarm or something to remind me what my schedule is. All right, ladies. Well, I will see you guys next week.
Yes.
Bye.
Thank you. Have a good night, everyone.
You too.
Bye.